Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
And welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables here. Whew. With mothers and daughters, I am here with mothers and daughters from around the world. The time just slipped up, you know. I had everything set up, ready to go, and walked away, had some coffee, and I said, oh my goodness, it's time to get on the radio. So good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you all for joining us this morning. It's such a great day. It's such a blessed day. I walk around and I just walk saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God. I mean, we can never get enough of saying thank you, God. Just thank you, God, is praise and worship. Just thank you, God, because we cannot remember all the things that God has done for us. We don't even know the things that God has done, all of them, because there's so many things that the angels are fighting back that's in the spiritual realm that you don't even have a clue as you walk forth how they clear the path for you. And the little things that you do experience, you complain so much about it. You put so much emphasis on it. But if you look at the big picture, and look how far you have come on this journey of life. And look how much God has done that you can physically and mentally recall. That in itself will just be enough to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. When I'm riding in my car, thank you, God. I'm walking through the house, thank you, God. When I think about the children are healthy, thank you, God. When I think about I got a nice place to stay, thank you, God. Nice vehicles, thank you, God. Health, good, thank you, God. Food and refrigerator, thank you, God. Opportunity to pray for somebody when they call, thank you, God. Opportunity to bless somebody when God say bless them, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for choosing me to do anything for you. Thank you, God. It's an honor. If God called your name and asked you to do something, you should be running to do it because he didn't have to call you. He's got enough children. He got 7,000 more can do the same thing you're doing. 10,000 more can do, a million people can do what you're doing. But he chose you to participate on this project and what he's asking you to do. You should be running when God called your name. It's an honor. Think of how many children he has. And he chose you. That's how I feel about Matriarch now. Every day I get up and I'm just working like a little ant, going back and forth, putting stuff in, you know. I'm like, thank you, God. You could have chose anybody to lead this, but you chose me. Thank you, God. Because I know this is something dear to your heart. This is something that you want to see happen. I didn't create it. You asked me, can I use your body to create this? Will you obey me? Will you do as I request? Do I miss it? Yes, I miss it sometimes. But I go right back to God, okay, I didn't understand that. I need some help, make it plain. So, you know. Because we don't always get it. And I'd be like, you know, I miss it.
And, you know, people think you got to be perfect because you're the leader. They think that, you know, you can't make a mistake. You can't come say one thing and then, oh, no, well, that's not what I thought I heard God. But, no, well, yeah, well, I know he said it, but I misunderstood. You know, come on. We all do it because we have so much going on in our intro conversations, so many other distractions in our lives, that if we don't stop and just concentrate, I have to stop, sit, and be still in order to hear God and even get my pen and paper sometime and write it down, or I get my phone and I'll just start talking in what God is telling me so that I don't forget it. Because you never know when he's going to speak to you. You're walking around, thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God. And all of a sudden, you know, a lot of times I'm walking from one room to the other, headed to the bathroom, and God will just speak to me in that little quick second, start talking to me. I'm like, okay, yeah. So he will speak when you least expect it. That's why he said, be ye ready, because you never know when he's going to speak to you. You never know when he's going to call your name. You never know when he's going to ask you to help him. That's all we're here for, is to help him. He lets you do some of the little things that you want to do, but he's saying, I made you to help me. So when I call you, I'm asking you to give me all that you got, your best, to help me. Because I'm giving you my best. I gave you Jesus. That's my best, to save you. And you can't help me when I call your name? Come on, y'all. Mothers and daughters out there, pleading to you. God made you to serve him, to give him pleasure, to help him achieve the wonders. He made the earth so that he could just see it. It's like a winter wonderland. It's his play. It's his Garden of Eden, just to see his children that he create add on to what he created. He could have created everything and not even used us. Didn't really need us to create anything. But yet he created us. And he said, I give you one talent. I give you two talents. And I give you five talents. And then I'm just going to see what you do with it. So when I call you to use that one talent that I gave you, you're, oh, well, I ain't got time. I'm busy over here doing this. Okay. Then when he comes back, and he says, okay, what did you do? Well, see, I was doing this over here, and I had to work on my job because, you know, I had to get this paycheck, and I had to do this, that, and the other. Okay, well, I'm going to take that from you, and I'm going to give it to the person who doubled theirs. He gave you the example in the Bible. You don't do what I ask you to do. You're not obedient to me. Then I'm going to take it. And you wonder why your money's short. You wonder why things are happening. You wonder why you can't get the house. Or you wonder why you can't get this. Or you wonder why things are happening on your job and you're not happy. Because what? You're disobedient. Disobedience. You don't want to be in that position. It cuts off your blessing. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You can sacrifice for the man, but that ain't going to get you nowhere. Obedience to God will bring you blessings and favor that you can't even imagine. That's the word that the Holy Spirit wanted to share this morning. So, good morning, Deborah. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm well. I'm well. Thank you for asking. God is good.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I'm telling you, before I get deep in this thing, you know, the Holy Spirit done died. Dive deep, or whatever the word is, you know, let's say prayer. Let's go ahead and give him some praise.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for the heartbeat, the blood circulating in our veins. We thank you for being in our right mind this morning to be able to hear a word from you and to be able to deliver the message that you have spoken to us. We thank you, Lord, for using us, for counting us faithful. We thank you, Lord, for your grace, for your mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Oh, man, and oh, man. You know, that prayer
You know, it's been some time ago when God told us, you know, remember that prayer, because everything that you need is inside that prayer. When you pray, say. And it's powerful. One day he's gonna explain that to us, and we're gonna have a show that's talking about the insides of the Our Father prayer. But anyway, Cynthia's not with us today. I think she's out of town. So it's you and I, Deborah, to take this boat on down the road. How was your week? Your week? I'm sorry.
Week was pretty good. No major activities going on. Just work. I'm looking forward to doing something tomorrow. We have a birthday, my sister, so that will be how I spend the weekend. But the week was just a regular week. Just blessed to have a job. Just blessed to be able to drive to my job without accidents in the car. Just blessed to be able to continue to do the task that's been handed down to me. It's just a blessing to just be able to do what he called me to do in the midst of a world where we need Jesus so much.
Oh,
you know?
My God. Oh, my God.
You
know
what?
I was going to say, oh, my God, there's so much going on. And, you know, I, for the last maybe 2 or 3 months or so, I just kind of backed off from, you know, watching so much news and just kind of say, Lord, what can I contribute? And I can contribute prayer and standing and believing and whatever I can do and lifting everybody up before the Lord. And then the Lord told me last week to start listening to the news again. So I started listening to the news, and I tell you, Deborah, it seemed like I didn't skip a beat. It was the same stuff going on. You know, I mean, I did check in with the news every once in a while, but, you know, it wasn't like I was constantly in on them, you know, every day, you know, checking this. It's one station I'm listening to, and then I'll go to another, and then I just kind of cut it off because it got to be so intense. And so just coming back, and I said, okay, I'm going to. Certain times a day, I'm going to check the news out, and then I'll go on about my business. And I'm telling you, it's just like nothing has changed. There's still shootings. There's still tornadoes. There's still hurricanes. There's still, you know, fighting in the streets, politicians against each other, ministries against each Christians. I mean, they're just religious against each other. I'm like, Lord. But I was listening to a minister, and he made it very plain. God said, you know, these things are going to happen. So we know, don't be surprised. I wish I could remember the Bible verse that he was talking about. He said, don't be surprised. These things are going to happen. But it's not, and people say, oh, the world is coming to an end because of this, that, and the other. He said, no, the world will not come to an end until everybody hears the gospel. That, you know, and the gospel meaning, you know, thy kingdom come, until they hear about the kingdom of God, you know. So a lot of people haven't heard yet, and all these things that are happening, he said it was going to happen anyway. But, you know, we still pray and say, Lord, even though you say it's going to happen, you know, I'm just like, Lord, you can you change your mind? Because he will change his mind, Deborah. You know that now. He can change his mind. Because he's done it before. But I'm like, Lord, it's just so much. Or maybe it's just me. It's just like it's a lot going on. Overbearing. So anyway, that's my take on it. But my week last week was good. For the last maybe 2 or 3 weeks, there have been, you know, some things that I had to deal with my family, and I had to stand and believe God for. And God came through, and a miracle was done, and I just thank God for it. And now I feel like I'm, you know, I can, not that I had to do something, but I can breathe. And I said, God, I just want to go on a little vacation now. You know, when you get your children straightened out and everything is good, then you figure, you know, now I can just go take some time for me. And so that's what I want to do. So anyway, it's a good week. It's a good week. We had a good board meeting, and I liked it because we didn't have to do anything major, you know, just updates, and we was in and out.
In and out.
It wasn't a lot to discuss, just updates, and I said, all you got to do is update them and move on, because that's the only thing that we really need to work on now is just that project. And what project am I talking about? We're talking about the Matriarch, the crowning of the Matriarchs, May 18, 2023 in Clemens, North Carolina. We are having right outside of Winston-Salem. Most people know Winston-Salem. And Clemens is just about 5-10 minutes drive, just so that we could get a place because of all the graduations and activities that weekend. But if you want to nominate your matriarch, who normally is the grandmother, your grandmother, or the eldest person in your family that seemed to be the go-to person, you know, you can go to our website, go to, we have a community called Matriarch Now, MatriarchNow.com. Go there, go to the community, and there's a tab that says events. Hopefully, we might have it on the top, but just in case we don't, you can go to the community tab and click on events, and you can reserve your spot there. You can send us a notice saying that you want to nominate your matriarch. We have info, info@gmail.com. Let me do it again. It's info@gmail.com. We recently changed that because with so much emails coming to the other one, we just had to create another one just for this. So you can send it to us and say, I want to nominate, you know, my mother or my grandmother, you know, for the matriarch. And so, you know, each family, you know what, Deborah, what came to me, you know, the matriarch is the overall family, but you got so many sub-branches, you know what I mean? Say, for instance, mm-hmm. if grandma's living, and she's a matriarch of the overall family, you still can nominate your mother, who is over her clan. You know what I mean? She's got a group of her own right there that she's a matriarch of. So she's the sub-matriarch to the matriarch. So this thing is just blossoming out like a flower. But and if you have an issue, go to contact@matriarchnow.com and then send me some information. This, you know, I'll call you personally. So, and our phone number is on there to the office, which is 336-770-6003. That's 336-770-6003. You can call us. That's the office number, and we'll do what we can do or see what you want to say and hear what you want to say, and we'll just make it happen. So that's been my week working on that, Deborah. Can't complain.
Wow. Sounds like you're just busy.
Yeah, it's something. I got it, but I got a big relief this week, you know. Now I feel like I can concentrate more on what I need to concentrate, and got a big piece off of my plate. And, you know, when we have so much and we're juggling, and it's just not me, we're all juggling. You know, I had a lady tell me, she said, well, you know, I want to do this and I wanted to do that, and I can't because I just got so much. I said, baby. Every last one of us are juggling. every board member is juggling. We got so many things, so many activities. But, you know, God don't care about your schedule. God still said, I still call you to do this. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I don't care what you're doing. I still call you. He told Peter what? Put down and come on. People like, but I'm a fisherman. You know, this is how I feed my family. Mm-hmm. But I can feed your family for eternity. Which one you want? A fish today or a fish for eternity? So you make a choice. So anyway, Deborah, today our topic is mothers and daughters, who do you need to forgive? Who do you need to forgive? So I'm going to let the Holy Spirit speak, and then I'll come back and pick you up.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, thank you. All right, all right, all right. This is a good topic today. You know, every once in a while you have to come back to the root cause. And people don't understand that your blessings can't blossom and grow if you have crabgrass at the root of it. And the crabgrass at the root of our blessings is a simple thing. There's a couple, or maybe many, but a simple thing as unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will choke your blessings. Disobedience will choke your blessings. Now, those two work hand in hand. And you say, well, how is disobedience, Dr. Bessie? What does that got to do with unforgiveness? Those seem like it's two different things. But they're not. Because first of all, God said to forgive. Deborah did the prayer. Forgive us this day. Forgive us our trespasses. No, give us this day, but forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Now, that's the part of the prayer that Jesus said, when ye pray, say. Now, that's inside of what he told you to say. So, he's not just saying say it. He wants you to say it and do it. That's the obedience part of it. If you ask God to forgive you, you say, God, forgive me for my trespasses. God, I repent. You know, we know about repentance. As Christians, we hear the word, oh, if you just go to God and repent, he'll be quick to forgive you, and he'll remember it no more. We love that because that's a personal thing. Oh, I went to God and I said, God, please forgive me. I've sinned, God, please forgive me. Even though you might go back and do the same thing again, you come right back to God. God, please forgive me. See, that's what David did. David was quick to go to God. Fell on his face. Cried out, God, please forgive me. Because God knew. The word of God said, if you repent, I will forgive you. And I will remember it no more. But then when you're asking God to forgive you, forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. Now see, this is the tricky part. You want to receive, but you don't want to give. He said it works. If you receive, you give. If you give, you receive. If you receive, you give. If you give, you receive. So you're thinking, oh, God has forgiven me, but I still don't like, I don't want to call no particular name. I still don't like her. Or I'm still bad with him. But yet you run to God, and God's supposed to forgive you. But you harden your heart, and you haven't forgiven the person that has trespassed against you. Yeah, but see, Dr. Betsy, you don't understand. This is what happened, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. As a Christian clinical psychologist, I sit with mothers and daughters around the world. Now we do Zoom. I do a lot of telephone counseling, whichever way they want to come. But even with that, I'm telling you, I have to tell them when I catch it, like, there's some unforgiveness here. You can make all the excuses you want, but there's unforgiveness. And when you can't forgive, yeah, God's going to do what he said, but he's expecting you to do what he told you to do. He's expecting you to be obedient. Now, it's good for me to be forgiven because God can't lie. We'll use everything that God said. God can't lie. So if he can't lie, then that means what? I'm forgiven. It's all about me, 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 me. But unforgiveness, he said, you're not coming up into heaven with that foolishness. How can I trust you with fortune and fame? How can I trust you to lead somebody when you got unforgiveness in your heart? How can I trust you? How can I move you forward when you got unforgiveness in your heart? And all of us have been hurt by friends and families and co-workers, just people, strangers. All of us been hurt by something we've done to our own self, by making decisions that when you look back over your life, you say, what in the world were I thinking to do something crazy like that? That was a decision that you made. And you haven't even forgiven yourself. You keep putting a Band-Aid over it. You keep saying, well, you know, Lord, I thank you for forgiving me. But you haven't forgiven yourself. You got to start there first. You got to start forgiving yourself. Because you can't give to someone else what you don't have. So what? You made a mistake. If God can forgive you, then why can't you forgive yourself? Don't look for people to always forgive you. This is not a message about I forgive them, so they supposed to forgive me. No. I don't care if the person don't forgive me. I would love for them to, but I'm not going to care about it. He said, cast your cares on me. What I want is to make sure my heart, because you are in control of your own salvation, the rightfulness. You, it's up to you to go to Jesus and ask for forgiveness. It's up to you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You are in control of your own salvation. You are in control of your destiny according to the will of God. But you won't know that until you first build that relationship with Christ so that you can hear what God is saying. You can understand where he wants you to go. You can understand what is your assignments here on this earth. We're all here with assignments. Don't get that twisted. You're not here to just walk around and buy clothes and, you know, have a little fun with your friends and, you know, go to a vacation and go to church on Sunday and maybe a Wednesday night and put the Bible back in the back seat of the car and, you know, live your life the way you want to live it. And you have no peace, because when you leave all of the phoniness and all of the grinning and laughing and making people think that you got it going on and get back to your house and sit down, then what happens? That intro conversation, that ongoing conversation in your head just takes over. It goes from 0 to 90. Pew! And before you know it, you're battling with this conversation. And it could be something that you've done 10 years, 20 years, 30 years ago. But that's the way the enemy, he going to get you at something. You can be praying and he'll bring something up. That was 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And then you, before you realize, you are all deep into an intro conversation about something you've already asked God to forgive you for. And then you ask God to forgive you for it again. And God is saying, for what? Because he can't lie. So when you go back to God the second time, ask him to forgive you for something you've asked him to forgive you from the first time, he doesn't know what you're talking about. He said, I forgive you and I forget. So to forget is to, he said, and then any day he said, to remember it no more.
So then what are you talking about, Bessie? I don't remember that. So now we're talking about, how do we take this word? Forgive me for my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against us. And mothers and daughters, I want you to take a pen out of a piece of paper, and I want you to draw a line down the middle of it. And I want you to write down on the left side things that you need to forgive yourself for. And on the right side, people that you need to forgive. You don't necessarily have to write down exactly what it is. You know what it is that you want to forgive them for. So you don't necessarily have to write. You can remember it when you look at their name. You look at their name on the right side, you'd be like, yeah. You'll remember that. But I want you to dig deep inside of you. And I want you to look at all the things that keep popping up in your spirit when you're driving in your car, when you think you're just going to relax and chill out, watch a movie and get your popcorn together. And then he, boom, nah, I'm just going to lay this on you. Because he come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the enemy. And he steal, kill, and destroy your peace. You sit down, you say, I'm going to sit down, I worked hard today, I'm going to have my dinner, I'm going to chill out, watch me a movie, and just relax. I guarantee you, he will come and try to destroy that peace. He'll come with some conversation that you find yourself 5 or 10 minutes sitting in the chair and have regressed all the way back into those emotions. Because what? He's trying to stop you from doing the one thing that you say that you're going to do. I'm going to enjoy me a movie. Oh, no, you're not. I'm going to remind you of something. It's a battle. But you got the power once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then you receive the Holy Spirit, you got power. You got the same power that Jesus had. That's hard for people to even fathom. They can't imagine. I have the same power that Jesus had? It ain't but one power. How many powers you think it is? Jesus didn't have any power until God decided to descend, boom, his Holy Spirit onto Jesus. Now, everybody can remember that, John saying, here he comes, the one I've been telling you about, the one that I'm not even worthy to tie the lashes on his sandals. Here he comes. And he walked right up to John because he knew he had an assignment. Suppose he decided, well, you know what, God, I'm building this house for this family. They don't have anywhere to go, and so I need to finish this house before I get off, walk off from my family to go on this journey. Let me finish this house. He would have missed his assignment. His assignment was, lay down your tools, and I want you to start walking. He didn't know where he was going. He just started walking, following the voice. He started walking, following the Holy Spirit. But when he got there, because he recognized John, and because John recognized him, they met in the womb, in the spiritual realm. You can go back and read the story of Mary and her cousin, John's mother. The babies leaped in their bellies. She was 6 months pregnant with Jesus. So there was a familiar connection. You know when you're connected to people. It's up to you to decide if you're going to follow what God said. You're not crazy. You know when you meet people, a person, that person is there for a purpose. That person is always there for a purpose. Either it's there, sent, that person is sent because God allowed you and that person to do something for him. Or the enemy send that person to align you with that person so that he could stop you from doing the work of God. There's only one, two things, good and evil. You can decide. So when somebody does something to you, your friend, and you say, oh, I'm so hurt. She did this. Think about it. You already knew. You knew long time ago they wasn't your friend. But you did what? You kept them as an acquaintance and you called them friends, but something in your spirit told you they wasn't your friend. But you've just been dangling them along for a long time. You just go, okay. And then when the real person come out, then you say, oh, no. Come on. You knew. Because the Holy Spirit would not allow you not to know when you're a Christian. You knew your friend was chasing after your boyfriend. You knew your friend was chasing after your husband. You knew that. But you did what? He said, well, I can't prove it. But see, the Holy Spirit already showed you. You knew when your husband was cheating. You knew when your boyfriend wasn't doing what he was supposed to do. Let's just keep it real. You knew. But we always say, well, maybe not. Oh, maybe it's just that and the other. See, when you already know, when the Holy Spirit says, I told you. I told you. But what I like about the Holy Spirit will tell me, okay, it's time up for that person. It's time for you to go your separate ways because where I'm taking you, they can't go. And you have to realize you have to drop people off because they can't go where you're going. They can't get the blessing. They're not ready for it. Just keep going. Don't let someone else cause you to miss what God has in your life. And you don't have to be a showboat. You don't have to be on Facebook 24 hours a day. Telling people what you're doing and da, da, da. No, unto God, they will never know unless you go out there. What are you boasting and bragging about? You're doing the work of God. So there's nothing for you to boast about unless you say God said and you tell them what God is doing. But if you're really on track with what God is asking you to do, then you will understand when people come into your life and when they leave. And I remember God saying to me one time, he said, people are going to come into your life. I'm going to send them. And they may stay for a while. And then they may say, well, you know what? It's time for me to leave. Whatever it is, you say happy bye-bye. And I said, happy bye-bye? I've never heard that. Happy bye-bye. He said, yeah, you say happy bye-bye. And I'm like, okay. But when we had someone to leave for my board, the first time, it really threw me back because it was hard for me to say happy bye-bye. It really was. That was not an easy thing. I say happy bye-bye to friends that I have had friendships for many decades and not even worry about it, not miss them, nothing. Nothing. I'm fine. I'm like, I have all, you know, forgiven everybody. I forgive myself. We all was in a triangle tap, you know, whatever it was, I forgive everybody and I'm fine. And I pray for them all the time. God bless them. I hope they're doing well. Years of friendship. And I said, happy bye-bye. Not even bother me. Now, here's someone come that God sent that's been around for a few years in my life. And then when they decide that they were doing something else, I got so attached because of this journey that we're on. It was hard for me to say happy bye-bye. And God knew because of the assignment that he put us all on that when one person left, it was going to unbalance the numbers and the positions everybody was in. But then he reminded me, remember what I told you? When they leave, you just say happy bye-bye. See, the blessing ain't for everybody. What has that got to do with forgiveness? It's got a lot to do with forgiveness. Obedience first. I had to go back and say, you know what? What did God tell me? What is the obedience that I need to be doing? Obey what he said. Say happy bye-bye. Bye-bye. Happy bye-bye. And once I said that, there was a peace that came upon me. See, he gives you instructions, and if you follow those instructions, there's a built-in mechanism called peace that you will not worry about it. We get into our emotions. Don't hold somebody hostage when they say bye-bye, because people can make decisions for themselves. Now, you can't say it's the right decision for them or the wrong decision. You have to say happy bye-bye to people yourself. Bye-bye. And it's okay. They're not going to put you and somebody else in the ground together. So bye-bye. Happy bye-bye. But when you say that, you got to make sure that you have forgiven that person for whatever you think that person has done to you. Happy bye-bye. And then have unforgiveness for them. Then you really didn't say happy bye-bye. Your heart. We're talking about a matter of the heart, forgiveness. I thank God this morning that there is no one on the face of this earth that I have unforgiveness for. No one. And I'm not saying it to impress you. I can care less what you all think. God is the one who knows that I'm telling the truth. There is no one that I have unforgiveness for. There's no one that I don't have love for. No one. And that's where we got to get to. Because anybody that has ever been in my life, they call me today and say, I need you. I would be there like nothing ever happened. Because see, I have forgiven them. And I pray and ask God for them to forgive me. It's a two-way street. It's not that they've done something wrong so much and then you didn't do anything. You know, your energy was into it too. And I've forgiven myself. I'm free. I'm good. As the young lady told me, she said, the blood's off of my hands. I'm like, yeah, the blood's off of my hands. I have nothing against anybody. And mothers and daughters, you got to start with yourself. Forgive yourself. Forgive your daughter for any interaction. Start with your own family. Forgive your son, forgive your husband, forgive your ex. Because remember, we are all children and we make mistakes. People don't really go out just to hurt you. They're just trying to do what they want to do. They're trying to find their pleasures. They're trying to find whatever it is they're doing. That's their decisions. And they have to deal with those things. So you have to forgive yourself. Forgive, start with your own family. If there's any forgiveness to do between you and your daughter, you and your mother, start there. Because you all are the matriarch and the reigning matriarchs of the family. You got to be able to teach the children how to forgive. And if they don't see forgiveness in you, mother, they won't know how to dispatch forgiveness to their children or their friends or to themselves. They got to see what that looks like. And that's one thing I can say. My daughter has seen me and we have talked about it. And I tell her about situations and I said, you know what? But you know, I still love them. I forgive them. And we just pray for them. That's my little prayer partner. We put up a prayer for people. And I'm fine. And we go on. Same thing with someone that's in her life. We just pray for them. We have a book where we put people's name in and we pray for them. Something come up, I tell Angie, okay, add them to the book. Add them to the book. Now, this is something she's been doing since she was 16 years old. She was, when she got her car, she decided, well, you know what? I'm not just going to ask God for a car. I'm going to pray for everybody else. And she started just writing down people's names and things that she heard on radio and television, people that's going through. And she would just start praying for them. And I'm telling you, when she shared that with me, the next week her car showed up, 16 years old. And so, in fact, it was a little bit before she was 16. But all I'm saying to you is this. When you focus on other people, when you really bless and pray for other people, what you send out comes back to you. Comes back to you. And that's why I can honestly say today, God has kept me. I don't want for anything. I have more than I need. Vehicles, health, wealth. I have more than I need. And that's not it. All of it, more to come. Simply because I'm concentrating on what is it that you want me to do. I don't have to show what I'm doing for God to you. Because every relationship with God is individual, unique, and should be private. That's why he said, when you pray, go in your closet. When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. Now people, I'm fasting. Well, you know what? You don't get nothing from that fast. He tells you that. You don't get nothing. When you tell somebody you're fasting, then that's your reward right there. So you can fast all you want. You're not going to get anything because you just announced to someone else. That ain't between you and God. God's like, okay, so you want them to know. So now you get what they give you. Read your Bible. So when God asks you to do something, keep your mouth closed. Do what he told you to do. They'll see God. They should see God in you. I don't have to announce every time me and God does something or what God does for me. You'll see it. The fruit will be there. That's what he said. So it's important that you forgive. That's our topic today. Mothers and daughters, who do you need to forgive? Write it down. Create you a list. And work on it. Work on yourself. Put yourself at the very top. And just sit. If you're not saved, just simply ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. Repent for everything that you've done. Ask him to forgive you. And tell him that you're turning from your ways. That you're turning your face to God. And I ask that you give me the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's just that simple. And you're on your way. And just ask the Holy Spirit, help me to learn how to forgive. Give me the peace. But it all starts with one thing, love. You got to love yourself. You got to love God. You got to love Jesus. You got to love the Holy Spirit. You got to love yourself. And I'm telling you, that will bring in peace that surpasses all understanding. Whew. Deborah?
Wow. I tell you, when you first gave the topic, the first thought was forgiving self. And so I was just stuck there for like a good few minutes. And you know, I want to publicly say that as a Christian, there's ways that should not be associated with a follower of Christ. And in my journey, this year makes, I believe, 26, 27. I'm kind of off with the years, but it's been a long time since I gave my life to Christ. And in my journey, especially the first century, I mean decade, not century, Jesus. Oh, Lord, century. The first decade.
Hey,
the first
you can
decade. Do it. whoa, Lord Jesus. The first decade, 10 years, you know, learning new babe in Christ, learning how to, you know, make that transition. I didn't always represent Christ like a Christian. And so I want to publicly say, and I've said it to God, that I apologize for anybody that came in my path and I was not Christ-like because it could have affected them. So I want to forgive myself for not representing Christ all the time in my humanity. I know that I would miss the mark here and there, but I want to publicly say that first. Forgiving me, because that's the first thought that came, and I know it was from God. Forgiving me, and I've said it before, Lord, forgive me, but I want to publicly say it on the air. Lord, forgive me for not representing you 100% at times in my life. And so then I go to Matthew's where he tells us how to pray. Lord, forgive me. And the key word is as I forgive others. That little statement there is basically giving God the disclaimer that you're going to forgive me as I forgive others. So when I pray that, I'm saying it back to God. Lord, forgive me. It's his prayer, but I'm saying it back to him. Forgive me as I forgive others. And so what it does is it puts me in a position to want to forgive others right. Because I don't want God to forgive me half-heartedly, still holding residue of unforgiveness with people for whatever offense they may have brought on me. Now, the truth be told, I've had to be forgiven too from other people because I did some offensive stuff towards people in my life. And so he's saying, I'm going to forgive you, Deborah, for offending others and offending me. But I'm going to forgive you based on how you forgive people that violate you. Don't just come pity party, oh, God, fix it, Lord, they did me wrong. God says, you still holding some stuff? I'm going to give it to you just how you give it to them. And then be like, no, Lord, not like that. They'll let you know right there, Deborah, that you ain't let it go. Because you're telling me now that I need you to tell me because I'm God and I know everything. I just want you to be transparent and let other people know that we don't always get it right. Confess the sin, move on, learn from it, grow from it. And I got a little thing that I say now. If you ever did gardening and you know you get weeds that come up in your garden, and there are some weeds that you could just pluck out real effortless with two fingers. You could just pull it out. It just slides right out of the ground, out of the dirt. Because it's not that deep. I'm going somewhere. Versus, if you allow the sin and offense of unforgiveness or the act of whoever did whatever they did to you to grow, and the Bible says, don't go to sleep on your anger. Don't let the sun go down. So what he's saying is, it's going to get worse if you don't deal with it while it's so fresh. Why it's really, really not that bad. And so I've learned from not weeding stuff up when I could have weeded up real effortlessly. I allowed it to grow to an oak tree. Now I need an axe, and I need a saw to cut it down, and I can't do it all in one. Why? Because the tree is too big. So I've learned that it's to my benefit to what's, okay, you violated me, you offended me, you hurt me, you sinned against me. The easiest thing for me is to go ahead and do that process, have my mood swing, my mood, my attitude, whatever I'm feeling in that moment that I'm feeling like, oh, whoa, me, you did me wrong, and get it over with. Because if I let it grow, I got a whole lot more work to do. And so it wasn't easy to try to make that type of behavior come. It came with practicing. Okay, Deborah, go on and, you know, don't be like that. Let it go. They know not what they do, right? You want God to forgive you. You got to talk myself off the ledge sometimes. And so over the years, it become a little easier. I do it because I know that it's the right thing to do, but I have a process. But the process now don't take 2 days now. It don't take 2 weeks. It don't take 2 months. I give you 30 minutes. I give you an hour at the most, you know, and I could pretty much pass it. Some easier than others. And so God is saying, I'm going to forgive you like that. So I want to try to offend less, so I got to do less apologizing and less hold on to it when I should let it go. It's not easy, but it comes with practice. Because what I realize this is, we as humans are going to be on the face of the earth. We ain't going nowhere. So the sooner you learn how to deal with that spirit, not that person, that spirit, that bite-biting spirit, that gossiping spirit, that do-you-wrong spirit, that whatever the spirit is, as soon as you learn how to do that, you can deal with anybody because we don't fight against flesh and blood. It's like this fighting me against you. It's the spirit that's operating. So as soon as I learn how to deal with the spirit, I could pretty much, wherever I go, just recognize, oh, I've seen this before. This is how you deal with that. Yeah, I've seen this. Move the face and just identify the spirit. This is how you deal with that. And so you become less, I don't know the word to use, but I just, because I said, we ain't going nowhere. Some of us died, some of us still living, but we human beings are still going to be here. Some of us are still going to be here. And if we just learn how to deal with us, it makes it a lot easier. So I realize that people are going to do you wrong. People are going to talk about you. I'm going to do some wrong. I don't plan to do it, but there's times that I'm not so holy, so sold out for Jesus. Can I keep it real? There's times that I get in my flesh. There's times when I, you know, go from 0 to 10. Maybe I go to 0 to 5 now because I'm working on it, because I identify that I got something in me that got to go. That short patient and short trip, that got to go. Like, oh, I get the worst. But give me work to do. God, help me. Help me, Lord. I need you to help me deal with this short temperament. Because I see that it's not of Christ. So I ask God to help me. So I don't be offending people and got to go back and say I'm sorry. I want to hold it to tomorrow. Help me, Lord. It's not my will to be like this. And so when I do that, I allow God to give me what I need. And it's a whole lot easier. And so he says, forgive. I want you to forgive others. He gave us a command. He said, oh, you move first, I move next. So the ball is in my court. When people do me wrong, the ball is in my court. You're going to hold it, you're going to forgive them. Because chances are I'll probably be violating somebody for the week out and going to God crying, forgive me, God. He said, oh, no, you still holding on that from Tuesday. that thing with from Tuesday, it's Saturday now. Now you don't violate, now you want me to forgive you. Remember, my words say, forgive me as I forgive others. So you go back to Tuesday, Deborah. You still salty about Tuesday. You usually let it go, but you still got something going on with Tuesday. And you know who I'm talking about. Make it right. Give him a call. Send him a text. Apologize. Even here's the key. Closing with this. Here's the key. He says, if you apologize to somebody because they did you wrong or because you did it wrong and you apologize, that's what you're supposed to do. But when you apologize and you know you ain't did wrong, he said that's where you show growth. Because you apologize for something that you know you didn't do. So that's where you show that I have grown. He said, because if you do something, you go back, that's just even. You did something, you apologize, that's even. But when you apologize, when you assume a position that you're wrong, and you know in your heart, and even a person might know that you ain't wrong, but when you assume a position, you're going to say, you know, I apologize for any inconvenience, or I apologize for anything that I might offend you. I apologize, not but you made me do it, not but you know I ain't do it, not but, no, I apologize. And then you move on.
So I just be apologizing. I apologize when other people on the job do stuff that I work with, and they do stuff, and I apologize. And they said, well, you ain't got that. I said, no, I apologize because we on the same team, and for whatever reason, I apologize that you had to suffer inconvenience. I apologize that you feel like somebody. I apologize for them. Like, I'm not even apologizing for myself no more. I'm learning to apologize for other people on the same team because we represent.
Right.
We on the same team. We represent. You get what I'm saying? We represent. So that's right. The new thing with me is apologizing for other people that did something to other people. It ain't none of my business, but we on the same team. So you're looking at me, you're looking at them. So I'm apologizing for them, too.
Amen.
It's not that bad to be. It don't even hurt to do it.
Right.
And then also, now when the enemy try to bring it back and keep replaying it, you say, oh, it's under the blood. God forgave me for that, and I forgave that person for that, and I forget. Hey, we on to something new.
There you go. That's good, Deborah. And I hear you. And you know what? I even go as far now as to say, if I don't hear from a person or something's different about it, you know, and God put them on my heart, I'll call to check on them. And I say, you know what? Is there anything that I've done? You know, because sometimes we can offend people, not even know we offend people. And they don't say anything. But if you see a change in your relationship or you see a change and your spirit starts saying something, you need to move on that. And the person, oh, no, I was just busy. I just had so much going on. You don't even know what I was going through. I said, well, you're on my mind. I just want to call. I want to make sure I'm clear. And is it anything I can help you with? Can we pray together? You know, sometimes we have to go that route, too, because you just never know. And I've just been, sometimes I'll be talking, and that's why I try to talk less now. I'm not as talkative as I used to be because you're just talking and running your mouth on things and saying stuff and not even realize you said something hurt somebody's feelings. That's a big one for me. And so I thank God he's been working with me for the last few years on that one. So, but anyway, that's our show, Deborah. That has been quick and fast. We apologize, mothers and daughters, if we offend you in any way. When we come on, we are not here to be high and mighty. We are not here to say we're better than. We're just here discussing what the Holy Spirit put on our heart and sharing our stories and hoping that it be a blessing to you, that you could get something from it and say, you know what? I do need to look at myself. It's all about self-check, you know, and look at yourself and say, you know, am I doing my very best? Just do your very best, and everything else will be okay.
Amen.
Cicely Tyson, they said, before she passed, they was asking her, what would you want the world to remember about you? And she said, all I would want them to remember that I did my best. Did my best. And that's all we can do, is do our best, go to Christ, get forgiven, and keep moving. Can't look back. Don't look back, turn into a pillow of salt. Keep going. And keep your eyes on Jesus, and he'll take you straight to the Father. All right, Deborah, I'll be right back.
Okay, thank you.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, that's our show. Thank you, Deborah. It is always, it's a pleasure. I love it when you add your feelings that the Holy Spirit speaks to you. It's just, you keep it real. And that's what we are here about, is keeping it real. See you next week. All right. Goodbye, mothers and daughters around the world. We'll see you next Saturday morning at 10 o'clock Eastern time in the USA. So whenever you're listening to this, just remember, we are always thinking about you, and we're always praying for you. Have a great week, Deborah. Goodbye.
Amen. You too. God bless. Love you. Love your audience. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.